Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mr. Roseman?
That should be a drop for you. We should take away the whatever the dirt of the earth drop and let's turn the camera.
You got it,
on
Zach.
Yes. Yeah. Let's turn the camera on to the Athletics Red Star reporter.
Hello, everybody. And for the very first time in the 2023 season, we welcome you to the first post-game pod, Birds with Friends, Bo Wolf, Zach Berman. We are here. It is 11:31 p.m. at M&T Bank Stadium. And the Eagles trying to do the impossible, but they came 1 point shy, Zach. They fell to the Baltimore Ravens, who just do not go down in the preseason. But what a day it was. What a debut for the Stanford Siren. Tanner McKee.
Is that the nickname for him?
Just on the spot. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Marcus Mariota. We'll talk about the rookies who played. But, you know, most of all, we jump head first. We're here, and we are flying by the seat of our pants, Zach. We have no producer for this episode. We have set up the show by ourselves, which could be not a good idea. But what that means is if you're one of the true – like sickest of the sickos who is in the live chat right now, let us know if everything sounds okay, if anything is going wrong, but we're gonna see what happens. Now, I think we should approach this podcast a little bit unlike regular season post-game pods and assume that a lot of the people listening did not watch the game.
So they are tuning in at 11:30 p.m.
Well, no, the sickos.
So it's like Saturday Night Live, right? Live from, yeah.
Yeah, I think the majority of people who listen to this episode probably didn't watch every snap of this game. So Okay. Maybe we can be a little bit more descriptive. But let me ask you this. When you think about when someone asks you in 5 years about the Eagles preseason game in Baltimore, what will be your top memory, you think?
Well, so the honest answer is Jalen Carter, the first time
the one
we saw
snap,
him play two snaps in this game. And in those two snaps, the first snap he had showed terrific pass rush ability there. So that's what jumps out from an Eagles perspective. Although from a macro perspective, you joked about this Ravens winning streak that it's 24 games now, league high. Interestingly, by sheer coincidence, the last time the Eagles were in this stadium, they lost by 1 point as well. Similarly, they went for a two-point conversion after scoring a touchdown that would have tied, and they failed to hit the two-point conversion.
That's why you're the best.
So, I mean, it's something about the stadium here where they score late in the game. They don't go for the extra point. It's that aggressive mindset. Did not work today.
Well, here's the thing about going for two there. What you do there, even if you don't get it, is you really send a message to the players that you believe in them. And even if it doesn't work out in the long run, that has to count for something.
So two quick Ravens questions for you.
Okay.
That has to do with the streak.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Was Josh Johnson.
Daryl Worley. Okay. Nelson Aguilar. Yeah. And Kevon Seymour.
So it's just interesting that the Ravens had the player who I think is their backup quarterback, Tyler Huntley, playing the second
half. The Pro Bowler.
Playing the second half when the Eagles had their deep reserves. Was that a little sinister, or was this a Josh Johnson revenge game? Because if Josh Johnson played in the NFC Championship game last year, the Eagles would have only been NFC.
Well, it's interesting to see how other teams run their preseason games, because like I think I have an understanding of how most teams do it. They had that chicanery going on. Daryl Worley and your boy, Daniel Fa'alele,
yes,
played every single snap of this game on offense or defense. That's wild.
Daniel needs work.
Yeah, Fa'alele, I could sort of buy. Like, this guy is a project. He needs the reps. Daryl Worley's got to play every snap of this game?
Revenge game.
Big revenge game.
Seriously, didn't even make it to training camp.
Who was this the biggest revenge game for? Of everybody in the building, who was this the biggest revenge game for? I have a guess, but...
Ooh. Okay. Let's go with Denard Wilson.
I think it's got to be Denard Wilson.
I mean, win this one for Denard.
Win this one for Denard. You know, if you happen to find yourself over on the Eagles sideline, talk some smack to Sirianni. Maybe, you know, give a little bump to Sean Desai. Move them up. Okay.
Andy Shaw said, slide that mic a little closer to ZB. Bo is way louder. Bo is a terrific podcast host, so.
What does that have to do with anything that was just
done? You project well.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's Denard Wilson. Okay. Is there who do the Eagles have any former Ravens? I mean, we got Jeremiah Washburn.
Yes. I mean, I'm on the roster.
I think they might not have any.
Interesting, because there was one point when there was like
a lot
floating up with the Ravens during the Joe D era.
Huh. That's interesting.
So I'm going to turn the question on to you.
Yeah.
What do you remember from this game 5 years from now?
No doubt about it. This was the Tanner McKee game.
This is the Tanner McKee game.
This was 100% the Tanner McKee
game. More so than the Jalen Carter debut.
He played two snaps.
Yeah, but what a first snap that was.
Okay, it was fine. do you remember how much everybody was glowing over Jordan Davis's preseason debut last year? Do you even remember that anymore?
Look
at him push these people back. Yeah,
so
that was nice.
So that was the Jets. Okay. So you'll remember that. I mean, Tanner McKee, I get ready to put him in the Hall of Fame. Like he's.
Come on. Yeah, maybe.
The best.
Listen, there's a reason that he was one of the leading candidates to be the Beowulf Camp Crush. And there's a reason that my heart was out to him from the beginning.
Not on draft day. You didn't give that a very good grade.
Yeah. That's not true.
Okay.
I don't think I gave it a bad grade.
I think you didn't like the stylist.
I thought it was a little bit odd, but yeah. But we've talked about it. Like the success rate for third day quarterbacks is extremely low, but the benefit, the upside of if he's a number two quarterback is enormous.
Yeah. So people will agree with you. This is the Tanner McKee.
100% the
Tanner
McKee.
So break down to the Tanner McKee.
What was interesting is that Marcus Mariota starts this game. And is exactly the same quarterback that we have seen all summer.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we've been describing in every single practice, in every practice observations, in every podcast, every Quackus report. It's, as a passer, he's erratic. He misses wildly on wide open guys. He's not every throw, but he's inconsistent as a passer. But his biggest plays come when he runs the ball as a scrambler, and he tends to run the ball a lot. Tonight, he was inconsistent as a passer. He missed a few wide open guys, but his legs came up big. You know, there's a 3rd and 13 on the opening drive where he scrambles for 14 yards. I think it was a little bit, you know, there's enough of a sample size of Marcus Mariota's career that this stuff shouldn't necessarily matter too much and it shouldn't mean too much. But just to see it in the offense, to see his legs, you know, he is pretty fast. I think if the idea of signing Marcus Mariota was that if Jalen Hurts goes down, you can sort of transition to a similar offense. I think the truth is that if that happens, the offense is going to have to be more run heavy than it is under Jalen Hurts. But he gives you a fighting chance, I think. The difference with Tanner McKee is that the Tanner McKee that we have seen in every practice this summer has been mostly throwing the ball within 10 yards.
You're right. And I asked Sirianni about that after the game.
He has not. Well, what did Sirianni say?
Because
I asked McKee about it, so I'm curious what Sirianni said.
Well, what did McKee say?
McKee said, I said, is it fair to say that you threw the ball downfield more tonight than we have seen you do in practice? Because it's what the offense is called for. Like, we've run these plays a lot, but, you know, that is probably so. I was happy that we were aggressive.
Yeah, Nick's point was, well, we were playing against a different defense, right? Like, there's different looks out there. You're doing different things based on the looks.
Yeah, I think I think what happened tonight is that they were seeing a lot of one-on-one man matchups on the outside, when, as opposed to when he's playing the Eagles defense, there's much more zone. And so he was given the green light to give his guys opportunities. And frankly, that's what the Eagles offense is about, right? Is like, if A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith get one-on-one matchups on the outside, give them a chance to win the ball.
Are you ready to put your Jake Tapper hat on and call this competition?
Oh, 100%. With Ian Book?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that okay. It took one throw for that competition to be over.
So that first throw to Tyree Cleveland was that did it for you?
100%.
Okay.
Tanner McKee made the team tonight, and it took one throw. I mean, it also tells us a lot that he got the reps second ahead of Ian Book. Like, he already has, he's already overtaken him. And then he went out and played better than anybody. I mean, listen, we have seen and lived through a lot of bad backup quarterback play in the preseason over the past decade.
Who was the worst?
The worst? I mean, Clapping Thorpin. No
Tim
doubt.
Tebow,
I actually wasn't here for any of Tim Tebow's preseason games.
I mean, well, no.
There's no way that he was worse than Thorpe.
I should take that back. No. The practices were horrible. The games were great. I mean,
because he's running around. Yeah.
And he's a gamer, right? So so he leads these exciting drives. But practices, practices were pretty ugly.
And so, like, a lot of the times when those guys are in, it doesn't look like the same sport. It's not NFL football, the way that things are run. Tanner McKee's in there, and he's throwing like dimes and giving guys chances to go up and make the play. He completed 5 passes over 15 yards. It was and then another one that was called back on an offensive pass interference on Joseph Ngata.
I thought, what, 10 of 20 overall?
10 of 20 overall, okay. Which, you know, not huge numbers. So I think 7.4 yards per attempt. But I thought he really looked the part. I'm not ready to say like he's pushing Mariota for the number two job. The Eagles could consider moving on from Mariota. Let's not go quite that far. But I think if we're going to get really aggressive, like I think maybe next year he's the number two.
Is there a world this year where he could push for it? Like if he balls out these next two games, could you say, look, there's something here. He gives you a spark. You know what Mariota is, but you have a better chance of winning games, not just like the tie, not just holding firm, but holding steady, but winning games with a Tanner McKee.
I think realistically, it's hard for me to believe the Eagles would think that way. And I don't think that there's enough upside in making that decision and moving on from Mariota and not having that as an extra backup plan. But I think that there is a possibility that if something happened to Jalen Hurts and Marcus Mariota got his shot and didn't play well, that they would then turn to Tanner McKee. I think that's the most likely thing.
McKee had,
I mean, listen, one preseason game. Let's not go crazy, but he was good, man.
I kind of liked his answer after the game, when it's kind of this rookie cliche, when you say, oh, is the game faster at this level? And he's like, yeah, the game's faster, but the players are too, right? Like, he's throwing to guys who are not his Stanford wide receivers.
Here. Right.
So,
and that's what was nice. Like, he, you know, a lot of his completions tonight were, He's recognizing pre-snap that he's got one-on-one looks on the outside, and he gives his guys a chance to win, and he puts it in a good spot. And his guys went and made plays. And, like, if Tyree Cleveland can go make that play, I'm pretty sure A.J. Brown can go make that play.
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay. You weren't as smitten?
I thought he was good. Okay. I didn't think this was incredible. I mean, I've seen preseason quarterback performances that probably impressed me more than that. But no, I thought he was good.
Okay. I think it's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm in on McKee. You know, it's like declare your crush and you still really have that crush. But maybe you're starting to develop like a friends with benefits type situation with somebody else as well.
Okay. On the scale of like.
But I also am going to take credit for him.
On the scale of Sam Bradford against the Packers to Christian Hackenberg against the Jets. This was much closer to Bradford against the Packers. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of Mariota?
I thought you summed it up well. It's what we've seen, right? He does have juice. Like that, when if there's a third and long, he can move the chains because he can run. He knows what he's doing out there. But there's just some throws where it's like, yeah, just take the layup.
Grant Cacatera is like wide open in the middle of the field, and he just airmails it.
Yeah, you got to hit the layups. That's what jumps out to me about Mariota. As a quick aside,
yeah, there are ones where it's just, I mean, he just sort of spikes it like low into the. It's just he's like. He's like a relief pitcher who has good stuff, but like just like it's completely unpredictable whether he has any control or not.
Yeah, that's fair. As a quick aside, Mariota was playing with a heavy heart tonight.
Yes.
His native Hawaii is in a bad spot right now, and so he sent he said it's in his thoughts, and if you're able to support or donate. You said the people there need it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth conveying that message to our audience.
We should reset just who played tonight,
yes.
Who didn't play tonight. The starters did not play, save for like three exceptions. Nick Sirianni said, as we predicted, that with the joint practices coming on Monday, there was no reason to play the starters. And so the only quote-unquote starters who played on offense were DeAndre Swift and Rashad Penny because they're part of the five-headed starting running back monster. We can get to their performances. And then on defense, it was just Jordan Davis who played like, I don't know, three or five snaps or something like that.
He also said, too, that he wanted the whole team to go through pregame warmups. They were all in uniform for pregame warmups because he did not want the first time for them to go through pregame warmups to be in the regular season. So that's likely an indication that these guys aren't going to play at all this summer.
And you made an astute point about that.
It's bad for the laundry, right? Like they all had to put on their jerseys there, go through the warmups. They couldn't do it in just like, you know, the pre-war. So the paint the scene here for those who are not in a football stadium 3 hours before. These guys change a lot.
Did you get in 3 hours before today?
I got here 2 hours before.
Okay, yeah. Usually, I mean, my regular season game plan is 3 hours before. I did not go. And unfortunately, we were not on the same page. I thought that we had an implicit agreement that we dress for the importance of the game, and so I'm here in shorts and a polo for preseason game number one. You're full regular season outfit.
You say implicit agreement. These are all on tape. You can go back to the preseason last year. You can go back to the preseason the year
I remember
before.
You in a bathing suit.
You can go back to the preseason in 2019.
I don't remember you going suit jacket in every single preseason game.
Not just that. You bring this up every preseason.
Okay.
Last year, we only had one preseason game that we did because they had two road games when they traveled.
Okay.
So it was just the Jets game
last
year.
So I do remember you in a bathing suit because we were in Miami.
No. We were actually home for the preseason game. So.
Well, I know, but you know, we were there in Miami. So in my memory is you at the at the pool with the banana hammock.
Well, that did not happen. I thought you were going to make fun of me tonight about something else. We are at the 1 year anniversary of the famous shorts incident. And so I will be self-deprecating.
I totally forgot about that.
I will
actually
be self-deprecating because But I kind of walked myself into this with the premise of, or with how I started it. The pregame.
It's good. If you bring it up, it means that I'm less.
Yeah. The pregame routine for these guys is they warm up in, you know, like t-shirts and shorts or whatnot. That's where you often see players have a particular message on a shirt, or they make some type of statement with the shirts in the pregame. And then they go in the uniforms for a segment of warmups, and then they go back in the locker room. Guys go into the locker room twice. So there's a pre-warm-up, and then there's a regular warm-up, and then they come back out officially as a group. So in that official warm-up, they were in uniforms.
I'm going to lean a little closer.
In the official warm-up, they were in uniforms. And I did not – they could have just stayed in the black pants, white shirt thing that they had, and that would have been – That would have saved Greg D some laundry, but.
And so, what was Sirianni's lower body apparel tonight?
he was going with the joggers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not shorts.
Not shorts. No.
Okay.
No.
You think he did that on purpose just to see if you would notice?
I don't think so. No. No, I didn't see Nick in the walk around that he had before the game.
Got it.
95 was a little backed up. Coming down here.
I have another thing that I right may, around Aberdeen, may or may not get to later, but we'll.
From like Aberdeen, from Aberdeen to the tunnel, I was actually in like stop and start traffic the whole time.
Okay.
You pass the Ripken Field on your right hand side.
You got to love to pass that Ripken Field. Yes. Isn't it great? It's such a marker of the drive.
Yeah. I once saw Sean Grieve play there. Shout out to Sean Grieve when he's in the Phillies farm system.
Sean Grieve, love it.
Yeah.
Cal Ripken has like Cal Ripken and baseball is like a competing thing with Little League baseball. It's a thing, right?
The Ripken League, yes. Not when we were growing up, but
I know that. Yes. I mean, okay. When we were growing up, he was still playing. Do you remember that? I remember that All Star game when was it Chan Ho Park who
Good memory, yeah.
I was at camp. We were listening to the game on the radio, and oh my god, he went deep.
He must have
proved this fastball, and turned out he did. Okay.
Actually, I was watching the All-Star game this year. Sorry for an aside. We wanted a quick pot.
We did.
Yeah. But they had Cal Ripken, A-Rod, and Jeter all on the set. And A-Rod was talking about that game, how like they let Cal Ripken play shortstop.
And then Desi Relaford asked, what do you think those guys are talking about? And Omar Vizquel said, whoever the fourth best shortstop in the world in our era was.
No, it was something to – I might be misquoting here. Actually, I shouldn't do it. I'm not quoting verbatim, but A-Rod was talking about how he really wanted to give Cal Ripken this chance to play shortstop, and Cal Ripken was like, "I got to play shortstop. I haven't played there in a decade. Right? You know the range you need a shortstop." It was this great gesture, and Cal was like, "Oh no,
right.
I'm 40 years old right now." Yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on offense? Let's talk about Swift and Penny.
Okay. Swift showed some juice, man. That 22-yard carry.
It was nice.
Got to the second level, took the ball out of the shotgun.
Just to contextualize, the Ravens did not place their starters, but they did have, Daryl Worley-type guys who were, second-level guys playing most of the first half. Yeah.
Yeah. Stopped on a dime at the line, cut outside, showed some burst, getting to the second level. Dropped his shoulder to pick up some extra yards. Was impressed with DeAndre
Swift. And then he just sort of walked to the sidelines like, all right, that's it for
I'm
me.
Done. Yeah,
I'm good.
You guys saw it? Yeah. We've seen a lot of him catching the ball this off. This summer. Tonight was him running the ball. You mentioned how Scott and Gainwell did not play. I should add this note. Even though it doesn't seem like the starters are going to play this summer, Sirianni thinks it's important that the running backs take a hit or are in that situation. So he said the next game, they're actually going to have Scott and Gainwell up. But then he also said, but don't hold me to this next season. Like, don't say next season that I said I want to play all these guys. So
that's good.
Yeah. So he's planning ahead there.
That's smart, though. Yeah. Because he knows what he is thinking is you. He is thinking in his head, wait a second. I got it. And it's good planning on his part. He's thinking, uh-oh, Zach is going to remember this next summer. Zach, don't hold me to this.
I've been accused of that. Like, you said this then, and you do
that's
this
what makes
now.
You great. You remember everything. You're an encyclopedia.
I appreciate you saying that, but yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Did you think Trey Sermon was impressive tonight? Have you seen people say they liked what Trey Sermon did tonight?
No, I thought Penny had two runs, that the 10-yarder and the 9-yarder.
Those little stretch runs when he's just knifing through people. Yeah. Very impressive.
So I thought Swift and Penny looked good.
I thought so too.
And Sirianni thought it was important for Penny to play because he said he hasn't played a lot of football. He said it's been a while since he played football.
Yeah.
By the way, Nick gets up to the podium or to the lectern. And
nice, good.
He does. He's like stretches his neck. And
he's swearing me.
I'm like, are you all right? He says, it's been a long time since I stood up for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, so, fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was like, his back, his neck.
It's funny because when I was walking to over there and I saw him in, like, the waiting room before going in because Tanner McKee was finishing up his show. And he did, like, he was sitting on a table. And, like, he looked a little bit beat.
Yeah, it's like he's standing up for 3.5 hours.
Preseason for him, too. So, yeah. He's got to get those reps.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought those two running backs, you know, it was you saw what you wanted to see. Swift with the juice, Penny with the breaking tackles. I thought that was good. You know, I guess we should mention that Tyree Cleveland had 5 catches for 68 yards.
Yes.
He looked pretty good. It was a big Greg Ward situation.
Now, quick thing on Tyree Cleveland. He's not like an undrafted rookie. He's a 4th-year pro. So I think
he's a former 7th-round pick, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
no,
only
but
25,
I'm saying, yeah,
but yeah, you're right. Okay, yes, yeah. That's a good point.
He has some years under his belt. Yeah,
he is a guy who should make some plays. You know, Ngata had that one. You know, Ngata, it was interesting because no Quez Watkins and Britton Covey tonight. Those guys were out with, I believe, hamstring injuries. Obviously, no Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, and so the starting three receivers were Cleveland, Greg Ward, and Joseph Ngata. Which is further confirmation that he has been sort of rising up the depth chart over the past week or so, but he didn't do much. He had a 31-yard catch called back for offensive pass interference. Otherwise, finished with 1 catch for 4 yards. So you didn't see that pop that you might have been hoping for.
Yeah. No, so I have two more chances. Agree. Came off the field in the first half, but returned in the second half was fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, defensive side of the ball. In terms of depth chart things, no Reed Blankenship tonight, but the other safeties did play. It was Terrell Edmonds and Kayvon Wallace who started. Terrell Edmonds, I believe, only played the first defensive series, and then maybe like one other snap when they were down by the goal line.
Got a sack.
Did he have a sack?
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
I mean, it was one of those things where they credit him. The quarterback was running the ball, got stopped short of the line of scrimmage, and got credited with a sack.
Okay. And then Kayvon Wallace is rotating and playing with Justin Evans. Sidney Brown did not play in the first half, played in the second half. Kayvon Wallace was solid. He made some plays. And some guys in the locker room were talking about being proud of Kayvon Wallace for tonight. But it was later in the game. But I thought you saw what you sort of wanted to see from Sidney Brown. I mean, he flies around.
Yes, he does.
That was pretty impressive.
I agree.
His speed really shows up on the field, I think. And we can get to Nolan Smith. It's a little bit similar where it's like you wonder if he can control the chaos a little bit. But I thought Sidney Brown was ahead of Nolan Smith in that capacity. I thought he was where he was supposed to be and was making most of the plays. And I agree with you that this thing that we've talked about, I would be surprised if over the next week we don't see Sidney Brown getting some reps with Reed Blankenship at the ones.
Agreed. I'm sorry. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Nolan Smith, you want to have that conversation?
Let's talk about linebackers first, and then we'll get to Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter. Linebackers, no N'Kobe Dean tonight. Christian Ellis and Nicholas Morrow start. And then the next series is Christian Ellis and Miles Jack. And then the next series is Nicholas Morrow and Zach Cunningham. So they're rotating these guys. I did think that my crush played well. Christian Ellis, he flies around. There's one missed tackle there, but he makes a really nice read and forces the guy inside, and it's a gain of 2 yards or whatever. It's still a good play. He's in the right plot. He's in the right space. I thought it was good.
He's fine. Yeah.
I thought he was the best of the linebackers out there on the field tonight.
This wasn't the Christian Ellis game.
No, that's right. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, if you're bringing your crush to meet your friends tonight like that, I don't think they would leave being like, ooh, look, Bo nailed it.
Well, first of all, I'm not as shallow as you. Maybe they understood that Christian Ellis has a wonderful personality and comes from a wonderful family, and he and I are very fond of each other. But that's not to say that maybe Christian Ellis, Tanner McKee, and I can't all be together. You know, maybe this is a throuple situation.
You can't claim Tanner McKee now. You already announced your crush.
I can definitely claim Tanner McKee.
You can't.
I've been talking about Tanner McKee since the second day of training camp.
You can't go to the prom with one girl and then dance with another girl. Okay? You asked.
I can go to the prom with Christian Ellis, and then maybe Tanner McKee goes to a different school and I can go to his prom. It's 2023. We don't have to be quite so monogamous, you only live once.
Not throwing the love word around here.
Yeah, I got a big heart.
Fair enough. Nolan, let's get to Nolan.
Let's get to Nolan Smith. This was not a good night for Nolan Smith from a execution standpoint. I think you saw the athleticism, you saw the talent, but he was a little bit over aggressive at times tonight. And I think he was the one responsible for that very long Ravens run, because he tried to come inside, and then he's responsible for containing it's broken. I think there was another play like that where he was out of position. But those are the things that you would think are teachable.
Yeah, and he had a quarterback hit on he showed good bend gunning. He got underneath Falele. Which is not hard to do. He's 6'8".
I was going to say, but most people can do that.
Yeah, got underneath him, got around the edge, forced the throw, and hit the quarterback. So thought that was a good play there. Didn't think it was a bad performance by Smith.
I don't think it was bad, but I thought it was – I would have hoped for more. I thought he was if I had to give him a plus or a minus for tonight, I would give him a minus. It would be a meager one. But
they played him a lot.
Yeah, they did.
They wanted to get him some work.
Anybody else up front pop for you?
I will watch this game tomorrow morning, and I'll have a better sense then.
Yeah.
But Jalen Carter, I watched that play a number of times over again. And, like, Ben Cleveland's not a nobody. Ben Cleveland started 4 games. They played against each other at Georgia.
Yeah, Jalen Carter knew him, had the book.
Yeah, he saw he saw the scouting report and said, oh, I know that guy. Mm-hmm.
Some good jokes from you tonight, by the way. Speaking of Cleveland, every time the ball was thrown in the direction of Tyree Cleveland, the press box announcer would say, pass intended for Cleveland. And you'd say, that's pretty far. It's a good joke.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Tried to bring my.
So we're trying to remember now because I had a good, like, really solid immediate dad joke the other day, and I was like, oh, I got to mention this one on the podcast, but now I can't think of it.
People are saying, Ojimo flashed. Did you see a flashing Ojimo?
Obviously, I like Ojimo. He was one of the other. He was one of the four finalists for the BWCC, and I really feel like those four guys I can wrap my arms around. I think those are my guys. And so I thought he was good tonight. He didn't blow me away tonight, but I would probably want to rewatch that. Tui was not quite as forceful tonight as I might've been expecting. I thought it was interesting that there seems to be real separation based just on the depth chart between Derek Barnett and Janarius Robinson. Barnett played with the ones, you know, got to sit out the second half while Janarius Robinson didn't really get in until the second half and really didn't do much.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Quick Jalen Carter thing here. I'll take you guys inside the locker room a bit, you know, and be a little self-deprecating here. So the first preseason game is always interesting for some of the rookies sometimes because it's our first time in the locker room, being us, the media, mm-hmm. right? And I'm very I always wait for them to make. I mean, not just to be dressed, but also like accessorized, you know, like mm-hmm. Malcolm Jenkins, you know, for instance, used to always like to have everything have everything in order. Zach Ertz would have like the top hat on, right? Oh, yeah. And then he would turn around.
Yeah.
So
Fletcher does the same thing where he's like, he's got to get everything on. Yeah. And then it's like a very dramatic turnaround. Yes. It's like, okay, I'm ready for you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I was granting Jalen Carter that type of respect. Right. And so, but this is like Jalen Carter's first go around.
Sure.
So
and just so people know, in college, it's not like an open locker room. Reporters don't go into college locker rooms. Yeah. They get only like a handful of players get brought out to the podium.
So he's a pro now. He knows we come in, but like, so he does all this. And he turns around, and then I'm just like standing there. He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh my god, I was waiting for you to be on set.
And then but you didn't say anything. So
he was great. Yeah. He was nice, and you know what? I don't know if he did this purposefully, but I appreciated it. He sat down. Sat down, we right eye.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, it was nice.
Maybe he was thinking the same thing as Sirianni. He hadn't stood up for three and a half hours in a long time.
That's true.
He needed that blow. You know, I'm really trying to think of this joke that I made on the fly the other day. And it was such.
While you're
good
thinking,
joke.
I'll give one other depth chart thing we did not do. This is something I had never seen before. Zach McPherson returning punts.
He looked pretty smooth.
Yeah, he did. I asked him about it.
More you can do.
Yeah. He said, what'd you think? So he looked all right.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
And then that's because Watkins and Covey were out. Greg Ward got hurt during the game. And so in comes the emergency in McPherson. I asked him about it. He said.
Oh, you did speak to him.
I did. I asked him when he found out he was going to do this. He said, I found out on Friday that I was up as like the backup. And then Greg Ward goes, he's like, oh, I'm up. So he was excited. One injury tonight.
Yes. Sean Bradley. Left on a cart. I'm not a doctor, so I won't say it was an Achilles. They're saying it was a lower.
He was pretty broken up.
But yeah, he was emotional. The team, much of the sideline empty to console him. Sirianni was hugging him there. It looked serious, and that's the first serious injury of the summer. And that affects the Eagles in the sense that he was competing for a special team spot, but they were already like short on numbers at linebacker. So my guess is they're going to have to add somebody in the next few days.
Yeah. I agree with that. Some family affair stuff going on tonight. The daughter of Ravens special teams coach Randy Brown and the sister of Eagles special teams coach Tyler Brown sang the national anthem tonight. That was fun.
Yeah, she did a good job. And it was nice too. I was watching Tyler on the Eagles sideline, and he was real proud of his sister.
Yeah, it was nice.
He went out, and so.
And then, in addition to that, the Ravens punter tonight was stout.
Was that, that's a joke, like a Stoutland joke?
Jeff Stoutland was punting. He was booming the ball. Stout.
Stout.
Oh, you don't want to give him credit. But okay. This time he was a player.
I like a Stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you mind trying to explain to the audience?
I don't know where you're going with this. This is always dangerous. Way to begin a sentence.
Scott Brooks Swiftpenny sermon or whatever it is.
So
Zach turns to me in the middle of the game.
So I try to connect with Bo. Okay. All right. I mean, Bo and I have an amazing relationship, as anyone who we've been doing this now going on to 5 years, but you try, just like Sirianni says, connection. You try to find different ways to connect with him. And so I know he likes full sentences. Okay. Players with whose names are full sentences. And so as I was going through the Eagles running back group, I said the Eagles can have a full sentence backfield. They have a verb, okay, in Brooks, right? They have adjectives in Swift. Penny can be an adjective, right? Like a penny stock, you know, something that's worth a penny. So I said your full sentence is Scott Brooks. Swift penny sermon. So a fast sermon that costs a penny. Okay. And so Scott Brooks Swift penny sermon. I thought that means that I thought that would work. And you looked at me like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. As if you don't devote one of the like most important parts of our calendar, which is draft season. The day, you know, you go through, it does really well. It's funny, but you look for these full name all-stars. And I was simply trying to connect with you, and you didn't sell the joke, or you didn't sell it at all.
The best part, well, because I don't think it works. It's okay. Not a full sentence. But the best part is that you kept trying to just be like, if you kept trying to just pronounce it a little bit differently, like that would help explain it to me. Like,
I didn't think they had to come up with a pot.
Swift Brooks. Okay. Or Scott Brooks Swift Penny Stock. Scott Brooks Swift Penny Stock. Scott Brooks Swift Penny Stock. It's like, the more you say it, that's not going to make it work more. But it was good.
Okay. I thought you were going to bring up something else, but okay.
What was that?
I told you before the game that I was going through the Eagles media guide.
Oh, this is good. This is like, you want to talk about like the Eagles encyclopedia and who notices everything. This is like Zach is, there is no one on earth like Zach.
So Jeffrey Lurie is in Jeffrey Lurie's bio in the media guide. They have a section there, like get to know him, his favorite movie. They have his favorite recent movie, his favorite dog breed, his favorite restaurants. And his favorite restaurants, it's like a long list, and it had been 8 restaurants, and there were 2 new ones this year that I noticed. And
now, did you know right away that they were new, or did it hit you like, wait a second, are these new? Let me go back and check.
They hit me right away. They were new. And then okay. I went back to check. And then
now let me ask you, were there any restaurants taken off the list?
No, just okay. 2 added. And I like to give a shout out to the the PR staff, and I'll say by name, John Gano he works really hard on the media guide, and I think it's like I like to show him that it's appreciated.
Somebody's, yeah, absolutely.
So I'll send him notes throughout the year, like I like this, I like that, you know, this player needs something here, so I can look it up. And so I texted him yesterday, like good update here, right? But what's interesting is Jeffrey
you
added
said the headline. Yeah,
Jeffrey added 2 restaurants in Fishtown.
Right. You said the headline is Jeffrey Lurie finally went to Fishtown.
Or not finally,
and I was happy because I correctly guessed which 2 restaurants.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, it's Soraya and Soraya. Pizzeria Badea.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And then so we said, oh, Jeffrey Lurie finally had he had two dinners with Connor Barwin.
True. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good. All right. Anything else that we should talk about from this game specifically, or should we begin to wrap this up?
I think we did it. I think an important thing to note is, like we've been alluding to, they have joint practices on Monday. This game was originally on a Friday.
Oh, Eli Ricks, pick six.
Yeah, how about that?
Great play.
Yeah, anticipated. And then he was talking some beeps.
Some noise.
Yeah, thereafter. Eli Ricks was feeling it. He had four interceptions as a freshman at LSU. He had one as a sophomore in LSU, did not have any last year at Alabama. So this was his first interception in a game since his sophomore year at LSU.
Okay. All right. I interrupted you.
I was just setting the scene. They have joint practices. So this game was originally on a Friday, and it got pushed back to Saturday. And
Which is why we didn't get to go to the Mount Joy show tonight.
Yeah. So tomorrow night. So there was less time in between.
I hope somebody's doing a post-game pod from the Mount Joy show. I could listen to that on the ride home.
Listen to Mount Joy on the ride home. A quick thing before we head out. You golf today. How'd you shoot? Want to tell the audience?
I did not shoot well today.
Okay.
My brother lives in D.C., so we met close to Baltimore. We got to play. He played very well. He shot he had nine pars on the opening nine, just straight par through.
Good for him.
He did good. Shot a 78. I was unsure if I should bring this up, but I feel like I don't know. Maybe it's too much information.
What do you always say to me? Once you start it, you got to go.
Yeah, you're probably right. So we met to play golf today. And I, you know, it's preseason for me too. I forgot to bring my mic. You brought your mic. Brought a change of clothes. But I did forget one crucial part of my outfit for the post golf, take a shower, come cover the game. I forgot my boxers.
Oh, okay.
So
the only thing that's standing between you and me right now that thin piece of shorts?
I can either confirm nor deny. I can say that I went quickly looking for some, and Walgreens let me down.
Walgreens? You couldn't find a Walmart
and
or
Big
a Target
Lots
or
let
a...
me down?
Nowhere on 95 you could find a...
Well, at that point, I wanted to come to the game. I didn't want to miss the game.
Okay.
You know, here we are. You only live once.
I don't know if we needed that on the pod, but
you told me I had to finish. It's I'm trying to change my life.
I wouldn't have started if I were you, but
yeah, I mean, probably didn't need to go there, but yeah, here we are. So maybe that's really when you ask me 5 years from now what I'll remember about this game. Sure. It'll be that and the Tanner McKee game.
Your first time at the stadium.
Oh, great press box. But I hear they're moving it up.
Yeah, they might be.
They're doing a redo, yes. And so the press box is not going to be as good.
Do you remember seeing this in the movies, the stadium?
Well, only I remember because you already asked this question in the press box. But yeah, Sugar Shane Falco.
Yeah, the Replacements.
Yep. And you have a good Joe Douglas note there.
Yeah, Joe Douglas was in the – he was one of the offensive linemen who picked up picked up Falco's car and moved it right outside here. But always love coming down here. Seen some good games here over the years. And – yeah, was nice to be here today.
Okay. I think that's
I've covered a lot of lacrosse in this stadium, by the way.
You've covered a lot of lacrosse in this stadium?
Yeah, they've had a few Final Fours here that I've covered.
Back when you were a postman?
Yes. yes.
Okay. You like lacrosse?
It's not my favorite sport, actually. More of a baseball guy.
Was that your lead on every lacrosse story? This is not my favorite sport, but...
No, it was Navy one of those things you get asked to do it, and you do it.
More you can do, just like Zach McPherson returning punts.
100%. Zach and Zach.
All right, I think we're good.
I agree. I got 95.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for the first post-game pod of the season. Tanner McKee. Tanny McGee.
Who's here?
Marissa's here. Wow.
Marissa,
doing this podcast by ourselves. We don't have a producer. I gotta figure out like how to end the show.
And shout out to Michael Dunn.
MD.
What a block, man.
Putting Casey Tuohill on it. Yeah, driving seriously. Him into a grave.
Yeah. But Marissa, we miss you. We hope you're feeling well.
We're going to get to see Marissa in 2 days.
Yes. Looking forward to
joint
it.
Practices on Monday. Now,
and Madison.
Heads up. Well, I mean, that's the real highlight. No offense to Marissa. Joint practices will be later in the day. So they start at 5. So those will be late post-practice pods that we'll have. But we look forward to it. Poor Jalen Carter. He has a good rep tonight. He's going to get road graded next week by Michael Dunn.
Get some sleep, Michael. Jalen Carter's good.
Mm. Okay. here comes Zach Lavin, a first round pick. What a really going out on a limb.
All right.
So who should you look out for this year? If you're going to watch the Eagles, keep an eye on Jalen Hurts. There's a guy who could be interesting. All right.
Yeah, how's that Christian Ellis pick working out?
It's great.
I'm joking. All right, let's get rolling. Let's get up I-95.
Okay. Four. Mostly Tanner, but also Marissa and Madison and Michael and Zach. We thank you for listening. We will talk to you on Monday. Post-game pods are back. And as always, let me find this thing here, but we love you.